Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How free should free speech be? This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you first to London. This woman is, I don't understand it either, a volunteer police officer. I don't know why they give her the garb. Apparently, training is lacking because this unpaid volunteer Bobbyette, can I call you Bobbyette? This Bobbyette is going to stop some Christians who are actually singing hymns outside. The sound is a little, you know, it's outdoors and it's being recorded on a phone. But it's well worth hearing because this is a representative, even though unpaid, and a volunteer of the British police.
Religion you're allowed to do anywhere.
No, miss, you're not allowed to sing church songs outside of church grounds.
You're not allowed to sing church songs outside of church grounds. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. This is the difference between freedom of religion and freedom to worship. They want you to think that you only have the ability to worship. In other words, you get together in your little club, keep the doors locked and the windows closed so we don't have to listen to you worshiping in there. We can tolerate that, but you can't exercise all of the other components of religion. In other words, you can't take it outside of the church doors. You can't leave your house with it. You certainly can't proselytize with it. And by the way, speaking of religion, I was reminded of a sermon. It was, Jimmy, the sermon I heard on Sunday. Woo! It was amazing. The old statement that Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. Well, the reality is it's both. Well, what makes a religion a religion? There are a number of hallmarks. One is there has to be some sort of deity, a supernatural being. Now, even if in Buddhism it's the great big nothingness, that's still the divine essence that you're desiring to get connected to once you lose all of your desires and you get reincarnated enough times. But furthermore, there needs to be some sort of moral system. Christianity has that. There needs to be a distinction between the sacred and the profane. We've got that. Even though the Christian life, all of it is sacred. That's not the same thing as saying there's a distinction between sacred and profane. There is good, there is bad, there is lofty, there is low. Christianity has all of that. Some sort of communication with your deity. Some sort of afterlife and eternity. Those are all the marks of a religion, and Christianity has all of those marks. Now, what distinguishes Christianity from all of the other systems, and I don't care if they call it religious or otherwise, it is relationship. That this is the God who desires to know you and for you to know him, and who, it borders on pleading, bids you to talk to him. Because he desires your affections, your heart, your will, your emotions, your obedience, the totality of you, that you would love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what God is after. And it is a staggering thought. And I don't think if you took the rest of today, the rest of the month, year, decade, century to ponder this singular thought, will you ever get a handle on it? In fact, I would guess that you can't think about this for more than 5 to 10 seconds, what I'm about to share, because I'm just suspecting in this regard, you're perhaps like me. It's like, whoa, slow down there, Pally. Let's not get too ooey gooey with our Christian faith here. I'm not talking about ooey gooey. I'm talking about this fact that God desires to be in a relationship with rebellious human beings, and he's made a way for that to happen through the person and work of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. ponder this. I'll tell you what. Here's the statement. You ponder. See how long you can do it before you start to feel uncomfortable or downright overwhelmed. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, so be careful before you knee-jerk your reaction to this statement. He said about God, he loves like a God. I'm going to add a pronoun to that statement. He loves you like a God. You, not the collective, not your church, you. He loves you, and he bids you to talk to him, cast all of your cares upon him in everything with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God in everything. He wants that of you, the God who created everything, sustains all things, wants you to talk to him because he loves you like a God. Go ahead, drink that in. Can you handle it? Or do you start to go, no, that's too much. I can't bear that myself. Yep. And that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. Increasingly understanding the amazing loving kindness of our God who sent his son to die for sinners. Now, I got to tell you, that you can go to your deathbed and you will not even come close to getting to the bottom of the love that God has for sinners. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the Father's love to those who fear him. That's what we did in church on Sunday. And then hopefully we took that message out to the world, which the world doesn't seem to want us to do very much, which is why they're trying to persuade you. You can have freedom of worship, but not freedom of religion. Back to London we go.
By the way,
you're not allowed to sing church songs outside
of church. You're not allowed. That's fine. That's
you're not allowed. She just said you're not allowed to sing church songs outside of church.
Our church is outside the church grounds, unless you have unless you're authorized by the church to do this kind of song.
Unless you're authorized by the church. Jimmy, you said she's this woman, this volunteer is from Bulgaria?
Yeah, originally from Bulgaria.
Maybe that's the way they do it there.
And you don't care about the Human Rights Act, you're lost.
And then the woman sticks her tongue out at the woman who was singing hymns. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, it's under assault, and we're seeing it everywhere. Let's go to Canada, shall we? This has simply been proposed. It is not enacted yet. Canadian bill would remove religious exemption from hate speech laws. Do you like hate speech? Neither do I. Nobody likes hate speech. It's, you know, hateful. But if we start to define what people can say and what they can't say, and deem that there is a motivation behind it that isn't amicable, which I'm not aware of any crime that is, but nevertheless, we're talking about speech here. As soon as we start trying to define that, uh-oh, we're in really big trouble. They're considering legislation that could criminalize the act of quoting scripture in defense of biblical marriage, sexuality, and other Christian views. It's Bill C-367. It's under review in the House of Commons. Would repeal religious exemption in the criminal code, which people are saying, that means that if we talk about the Bible, if we talk about, you know, anything that God says is a sin and somebody doesn't like it, it's deemed hate speech. That's sounding a bit like Pakistan. You say, don't compare Canada to Pakistan. Well, you be the judge. Headline from BBC.com. Pakistani blasphemy, a student sentenced to death for blasphemy on a WhatsApp message, which, of course, we all know what that is, don't we, Jimmy, with the WhatsApp?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the TikTok machine.
No, it's a message.
I was just testing you. It's like what?
A messaging app.
No idea. Utterly and cheerfully oblivious, sort of like the Academy Awards, which were on Sunday night. Zero idea. I have no idea about a single movie that was nominated for anything. I don't know a single actor or actress. which of course means that the sand in the top of my hourglass ain't what it used to be. Jimmy, you've been to a movie in 10 years?
Maybe one or two.
You'd remember from that mule kick to the guts that you got from that 10W-40 they put on top of the popcorn. On the WhatsApp, a 22-year-old student apparently used derogatory words about the Prophet Muhammad and his wives. Maybe, you know, he mentioned being married to a 9-year-old, the old Prophet Muhammad, for his troubles. He and a 17-year-old, the 22-year-old was sentenced to death. The 17-year-old, they just got life. And by the way, you should know, last August, scores of churches, homes, burnt to the ground in one town. Two Christian men were accused of damaging the Quran. That's not just Pakistan, where speech is being limited. Increasingly in the West, it is being limited. They have to. I don't know who they are, but they have to. Because if we as Christians have the ability to speak freely, to proclaim Bible verses, to gasp, sing Christian hymns out in public, they just see us as the last line of resistance. That's it. Which should remind us that all of these free speech skirmishes and all of these legislative battles, better remember, this isn't about government institutions. This is a war against God. This is Wretched Radio. Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the realities of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Master's Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace.
The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And it turns out I didn't miss much. This is Wretched Radio. Went to the YouTube machine looking for something totally different. I was looking for an updated version of The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Our Lord. And of course, we don't have one of those because, well, it's too lyrically profound. The point is, I went to the YouTube machine and I discovered at the Academy Awards, Robert Downey Jr. won his first Academy. I clicked on it. It was for Oppenheimer. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
But it's rated R. I can't do it. Why did a movie about a nuclear bomb has to somehow be rated R? Okay. Whatever. And apparently he won the Academy Award and I clicked on it and watched him come out. I'm amazed that people still get dressed up. I'm amazed they're not wearing pajamas to the Academy Awards like we do to the airport. Not that I'm becoming a curmudgeon. I passed that line years ago. And it was a speech that was filled with all kinds of gratitude for everybody involved. And then I saw on the side, Ryan Gosling sang a song dressed in pink about that Ken from the Barbie movie was in. Barbie movie. Jimmy, would you look up, was the Barbie movie nominated for any Academy Awards? Even in some sort of obscure sort of category like best song or best lighting? That's the Academy Awards. I got to tell you, didn't miss it. For my money, and that means I'm groping for a segue here. For my money, I would have preferred to be in chapel on Wednesday at Campbellsville University. It's in Kentucky. I'm not familiar with it. It appears to be, at least it has Baptist roots. This is the place where that young wrestler, I believe he was 18 years old, was strangled to death by a 21-year-old wrestler. No details on that. They're talking about that the altercation happened because of some sort of skirmish in the cafeteria. Regardless, a young man died. He was a theology major and wrestler, strangled to death. And at the university chapel, Dad got up and encouraged the people there, the kids there, to forgive because he'd forgiven the young man who murdered his son. Whoa. That's profound, isn't it? And you know, as amazing as that is, our Father did something even more than that. I mean, as magnanimous as that is to forgive the individual who murdered your beloved son, God does that. And in fact, it is because of the death of his beloved son that we are forgiven. But don't forget all of the other things that God gives us. God doesn't forgive and forget us. He adopts us. He brings us into his family. He lavishes every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms upon us. He is preparing for us a place where we will get to reign with him. We will have eternal bodies built for eternity without any more aches and pains, and we will get to dwell with God. We will be his people, and we will delight in him forever. That takes magnanimity off the chart. That is the greatest story ever told. And the reason that this man at Campbellsville University can forgive the individual who murdered his son is because that is precisely what God does. And that is precisely what God is after. It almost seems like it's a bit of a distraction from the flow of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about phony religion. He's talking about hypocrisy, being ostentatious. And he's blasting the Pharisees, not the scribes. He's blasting the Pharisees, the individuals who are doing showy religion that turned Judaism into this masquerade where they paraded around in public to receive the praises of men, and Jesus just lambasts it. and shatters it over and over again. Your phony fasting, where you walk around going, with the law, oh, what's the matter, Bill? Well, I'm fasting, you know, because I'm spiritual. And Jesus said they've already had their reward. You get your praises from men. And then how's about in Matthew 23, Jesus woes the Pharisees who devour widows. Would devour them? Were they cannibals? No. The teachers of the law would oftentimes be employed by a man who left an estate. He left a will, and he would have the lawyers, which were the scribes, deal with his estate. And what would they do with it? They'd take the houses from the widows. They'd take the money from the widows. And then they would go out to the street corners and pray. Ooh, man, Scylla. And Jesus says, don't do that. And don't pray like they do, blasting the trumpets, showing off, letting everybody know they're religious. I don't know why at the moment I'm thinking about the Roman Catholics who walk around with that ash on their forehead, letting everybody know how religious they are. Jesus hates that, hates it. Go read Isaiah 1, I think, about verse 11. I hate it. I hate your phony celebrations. I hate your phony feasts. I hate your phony hypocrisy. Because God wants our hearts. And then Jesus launches into the Lord's Prayer, which is not intended to be a formula as much as a pattern where we see different elements. We see praise, we see intercession, we see petition, we see confession, thanksgiving. These are the elements of what prayer should be. And he shattered everybody's understanding of repetitious, babbling prayers. Just repeating things over and over again. He talked to his Father, very relational word. And after he's done with the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then Jesus kind of goes on in a little excursus. If you don't forgive others, you're not going to be forgiven. Now, he's not saying your salvation is going to be taken away. What he's saying is your heart should be so filled with forgiveness that you desire to forgive others. You actually want to forgive others. How could I not forgive others? You think about the unjust steward. You've been forgiven so much and you're not willing to forgive a little bit? What's the matter with you? It indicates you're not a Christian. Because our hearts should be so filled with the forgiveness of God. And please let us remember, it is not just forgiveness that God provides for us in the cross of Christ. It's all of the benefits. It's all of the fruit of his redemptive work. That we're seen as righteous. We're given the Holy Spirit. We're sealed to the day of redemption. We are given the mind of Christ. Who loves like this? And the answer is our God does. And I'm telling you, this man, don't know anything about him at Campbellsville University. That's what allowed him to forgive the individual who murdered his own son. And as we look at what that man did, let's take the right lesson from it. Not that, wow, he's amazing, but how's about the amazing work that God has done in a human's life that they would be able to forgive the murderer of their own beloved son? That's a staggering work. And we should see that and be encouraged. This is why sharing testimonies in church, I don't know about the church service proper, but when we hear about these things in the lives of other believers, it should cause us to cheer. Yes, God is at work. He's still doing stuff. He's alive and he is, what? He brought a man to the point where he's able to forgive the murderer of his child? What kind of a God is that? An amazing God is who that God is. I just wonder how many of us are not constantly turned to that good news about the magnanimity of our God, about how incredibly rich he is in mercy, about how vast his loving kindness is. I would ask you a question first, Pastor. Did you show your people Jesus on Sunday? And in your church, you have the right to discern these things. Were you shown Jesus? Was he lifted up for you? Did you leave your church loving God more than when you came into your church? Now, granted, it could be you've got a stony heart problem, but oftentimes it's the service itself. And especially in conservative circles, I see this downloading of didactics, this teaching that is very Bible study centered, which I love personally. It's got to be preaching that causes you to stand in amazement that God would be so stupendously loving that we would desire to be like him. That's where I would have preferred to be rather than the Academy Awards. Did the Barbie movie get nominated for anything, Jimmy?
And not only nominated, but won.
What?
They won Best Original Song, Barbie and Billie Eilish, for the song, What Was I Made For?
Well, I can answer that question. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. You don't need to seek very far if you're a Christian to answer. Was that their only award?
I do believe.
Yeah. Yeah, that just reminds me. I would have rather been in that chapel service hearing that dad who forgave the murderer of his own son. Wow. A testimony. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.